from sin. Unhappy night and day. Oh, it makes me shout. There's no doubt I know I've been born again. Well, Satan tried to tell me, oh, I thought
take over.
now if you've got burdens,
you got burdens,
too hard
to bear.
And if
your load
is more than
your share.
Jesus,
I know
He cares,
and He'll make a way
for me
somehow.
Give up,
and let Jesus
say go.
And I only believe I've anchored in Jesus.
God's too good to have me sit down on Him. I'm going to tell you, I'm not going to bore you with all the details, but it's been a Wednesday. I could tell when I woke up this morning, it was a Wednesday. And I told Sister Crystal, I said, all the things that have happened that led up to this morning, you know what? I said, it's a Wednesday. That's why devil's fighting me. You know, I enjoyed this Sunday's message, you know, talking about having that ram in a bush. God's my ram in a bush. So to get me through today, to make it here one more time, I thank God that I have an ear to hear. That's what keeps me coming back. You know, if it wasn't for this, man, I'd just be out there. You know, I'd just be enjoying myself. But it's something that just compels me to come back. And just hear the word one more time. You know, I like to say, I made it back one more time to hear God speak. Because I know where God is. You know, people out there don't have a clue what God expects of you. You know, we come here and we just get it. We take it for granted. But, you know, I'm just glad that my eyes have been opened for this day, that I have an ear to hear. I mean, back in Revelations where it talks about that, you know, repent, you know, and be one with the word. You know, that's what we're doing. We come back, we feed every day.
Yes.
Every time we get a chance, we come here and we feed, and we just get stronger and
that's
stronger.
Right.
You know, my battles, I'm finding, are getting a little easier. You know, it's just, you just take on the word. You know, you become the word. You know, it's easier to kick the devil around. You know, you can't tell him just go, you know, sit in the corner. You know, you just take on the word. Just take it on, eat it, and you know, and don't spit out anything. It's all good. It's all, there's nothing to spit out, really. You know, don't accept your own thinking. You know, that's the only thing. If you're going to spit something out, you know, I can accept that. But, yes, this place here is my refuge. And, you know, if it weren't for this, man, I would be, well, I would just be insane. You know, it's just that simple. So I come here, I look forward to just being in the presence of God and just fellowshipping and basking in his glory. Amen.
Yeah, good.
You know, I love this place. I love this message. You know, sometimes you don't always feel good, but it doesn't matter what you feel. That's the best thing about this is when I feel good or when I don't feel good, God is still God and he's still good. And, you know, that song touched me because everything, it's the mountains, it's the valleys, everything, he's already provided, you know. If you just give up, it's so much easier. All the struggle is us. It's us trying to do it ourselves. If we just let God do it, oh my goodness, it's so much easier. And I thank God for that rest, for that knowledge, you know, to even know that. I enjoyed Sunday's message. You know, I was out there grilling, and I had my headphones in, and I know I sounded like a crazy person because I was like, oh, yeah, amen. That's right, you know. My dad walked by one time. He was like, what are you talking about? I was like, oh, no, I'm listening to service, you know. And I thank God that technology allows me to do that. You know, I was able to hear service and be a part of service even when I wasn't here, you know. God has already provided. He provided that internet for me to sit out there and listen to it. You know, it's everything. And I think about the faith that he had, that he was going to kill his son. Because not because he was going to kill his son, because he knew God would take care of it. Not that it was, he wasn't planning on killing his son to kill his son. He was like, if I kill him, you're going to bring him back because you promised me this son. And that was such a revelation to me because all the time I was like, oh my gosh, kill your son. That's horrible. It's not kill your son. It's faith in God. And, you know, I thank God if you just give up, he already provided. And, I mean, it's all the things. It's the big things. It's the little things. Every step you take in life, he's already put something there for you. And I thank God so much for that. Like I said, I didn't exactly feel wonderful when I came into the service today, but I sure feel wonderful now.
Yes, amen. You know, I was thinking for a second there about what was preached. You know, I just can't get my mind off of it because he said that until you're actually like proven, actually tried, you're not even a proven son. I'm just kind of paraphrasing off what Brother Moore preached because, see, God knew in his mind that Abraham was going to, you know, kill his son, but it hadn't even been a manifestation. There's just something about this manifestation and manifesting this word. You can only manifest what you hear. So if I was to go out there, listen to a bunch of pal talks and on let's just say how to make a table, I could listen to that all day long. I may retain a bunch of it, you know, I may put it to work. But what I put in to myself, into my mind, and what I put inside me, what I eat, I'm gonna do something about that. There's something that's going to be produced from what you take in. Like that natural food, you take that in, like Brother Don was saying, and it's been hitting me, and I'm trying to get the thoughts out the right way because it's just like a dam, you know? I'm just trying to hold back and just trying to let out the right things, but there's just so much because I'm so full. What would I get here? But he said, you know, it's just like in the natural. If you were just to eat a bunch of junk food, you're going to get a stomach ache. There's going to be a reaction for what you take in. And every single thing we do, there's always like a cause and effect type situation. And so what's the effect of the cause that I've brought myself here to? This is a cause, you know. I'm here because Jesus is good to me. I'm here because the word says get to the house. Now, when I get to the house, don't worry about how you're going to sit here and receive, because the receiver can only do one thing. Just pick up and receive the word. Just get here so that way that receiver can be activated. Don't worry about the details while you're sitting here. See, I used to worry a lot because when my kids didn't used to listen to me, I would never want to sit with them because they just distract me. But then Pastor got on me about that. He said, so you're not going to correct them? You're not going to sit with them and correct them? No, go sit over there with your kids because they're making noise for somebody else and ruining it for somebody else. So I'm like, okay, I get up, go sit by my kids. And that's just basic common respect, you know? If the man of the house says, go get up and go do something, go get up and do it. Don't make a big fuss about it. Don't make a stink about it. Don't even show a nasty face. Smile, get up, and do what you got to do. And just do it. Get the job done. But when you're here to receive the word. Don't worry about anything else outside the doors. Don't worry about anybody. You can't look left in here or right in here. You only got to look at yourself, because when that word's coming at you, it's dealing with you personally. It ain't dealing, it's dealing with the person sitting on my right. It's dealing with the person sitting on my left, but I only came here for it to deal with me. I need you to deal with me, Lord. I need you to move some things out my way, Lord. I came here because I have an expectation, and I want God to move, and I need him to move, because God's always moving. His word's always marching on, and that's just all I'm here to say.
It's good to be in the house of the Lord this evening. I felt bad all day until I got here. I don't want to be a spoiled child. I want to praise God for everything he's done for me. He answers my prayers even better than I want him to be. I want to thank him for what one doctor thought might be a cancer spot on my daughter's hand. Ended up being benign, and she's all good.
Amen.
She graduated from college, started a job down in Middletown, making more money than I'm making.
That's a wonderful
report. Yeah, I'm a little jealous, but that's okay. But no, I come here expecting, just like Brother Isaiah said.
Yes.
I come here expecting.
Yes.
I'm hearing God in the songs, the testimonies, and obviously the preaching. And I believe every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.
Yes.
It's, you know, I've said it before. I grew up in a Christian school. I knew the Bible stories. But I didn't have a revelation because it was no, spirit and truth was not there. And that's where it comes from, spirit and truth. Amen. Thank you.
Amen.
I just want to identify. We weren't here on Sunday. We missed y'all. We got God got us back safe, and I appreciate that. You know, just a quick story. I was telling Sister Johanna when I was leaving. There was a lady at Clark State today. She's retiring. She's the bookstore lady. And she told someone she has a gift for me, and it was, I don't really know her that well. And I went by and seen her, and her last day is on Friday, and she had a gift bag for me. And I was like, this is the wrong way. I'm supposed to get you a gift. You're leaving, not me. And she said, you've been an angel to me at Clark State.
Oh, wow.
And like, that's like, it's not just me. It's the God in us.
Yeah,
they
yeah.
see something different. Yeah. You know, and I really enjoy Brother Moore's service on Sunday. There's so much in it. But the one thing that really stood out to me was the story of the master that gave them the five talents, the two talents, and the one talent.
Oh, yes.
I don't want to be accused of burying my talent. And it's not a talent, it's the money. Like, whatever God gives you, you know, don't hide it. Don't hide it under a bushel. You know, we were thinking about the elders that have literally worked so hard in this church for this body that you don't even know what they do. They do so much. And I want to, as I keep going here, I want to keep investing in myself, investing in this church, giving it away, and I just appreciate it, Sunday Church.
It's good to be here, to be amongst believers.
Yeah.
Amen. You know, I was thinking, you know, today, you know, obedience is better than sacrifice. You know, you can do a lot of things for God. But if you don't do what he asks you, it doesn't amount to anything. I was thinking, you know, if I tell my wife, you know, I want the laundry done. Well, she made dinner. She did all this stuff. But laundry wasn't done.
Yeah.
There's a problem.
Yeah.
You know, and obedience, all it is just getting out of the way. Amen. It's just dropping your thinking. Something as simple as just drop. You know, I have nothing to offer. I have nothing but just an empty vessel now. And like Brother Warren says, nothing but the truth. Once you start filling yourself up with something that actually has some substance to it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Lord, nothing can stand in your way. There is such a balance in
yes.
that. Because you know what? We'll go through things. will go through things on this side.
Yeah.
We will struggle with things. We will have bad Wednesdays, and we'll have good Wednesdays. I had a good Wednesday. I was resting. The kids are out of school. Right. You know, their devil's not fighting them anymore. I got them home. Right. I'm thankful for that. Right. Because I have 3 months to where I can be like, you know what? It's Satan's system, and you're free from it. You don't have to be a part of it. You don't have to. You get to bring them in under my protection. The perfection. You know, and the thing, though, is I love that because, you know, I'm quite fond of the prescription. You know, I like that because that's close to my what I do. Write that prescription. You know, if you can follow that prescription, you will get better. That's a promise. Oh, yeah. I love the fact that, you know, talking about the ram, there was a promise.
Yeah.
I don't care what you said. Lord, if you said sacrifice the kid, I'm like, well, you promised me the son. I love that because you don't have a revelation on it until it was broke down like that. Because I first was like, oh, man, he's about to kill his kid. That's how much, that's what I thought in my mind. It's like, he loved God so much, he's going to kill his kid. But wait, there's more.
There's more.
He had so much faith in that promise.
Oh, yeah.
How much more should I have faith in my promise? That of a body change. That's not a matter of happenstance. It's not a matter of, well, maybe. God said he's going to change your body in a twinkling of an eye. He said, by his stripes you are healed. He said that the heaven and earth would fall away for his word become void. How much more should I stand on it? I have a full revelation. I'm not just sitting there, well, he just promised me a son. He promised me a mansion. He promised me a body without worries. Oh, that's an exciting thing. You start thinking about that. You can't even sing the songs the same. There's no mountain I can't climb because I'm not climbing the mountains no more. God's climbing the mountains.
I'm done searching.
I'm done because everything I've done, I make mountains.
Yeah.
This flesh makes the mountains. This flesh gets in the way. But you know what you do? There's a sweetness in surrendering. You talk about, you got to lead by example. You want your kids to surrender to your wife? You want your wife to surrender to you? Well, you have to surrender to God. There's a balance to it.
There's a balance.
It goes up and it comes down. There has to be a balance to it. I love that because I can't even expect my wife to listen to me if I don't listen to what God said. If you take God at just flesh value, that's on you. All you did was like, you know what? There's a prescription. And I don't care what your ailments are. I don't care what the condition is. I don't care what the devil says. That prescription says if you can make it to the house one more time. It didn't say for the rest of the week. He said one more time.
One more time.
One more time. Everything. Yeah. All answers, all questions, all your problems will fall away. That's a promise. And absolute thing is, I'm starting to build my life on things eternal.
Yes.
Not these small things. You know, while we're on the side, Brother Branham said, plant your potatoes. Yes.
Yeah.
There is true that. Because if you go to college, you'll make good money. That's just how it works. It's Satan's system. Wise like serpents. But don't let your career, don't let your knowledge take over this. Because what ends up happening, I'll be the first to say this, I know too much. Especially when it comes to medical things. And sometimes it gets in my mind, I'm like, well, oh, Lord, it looks bad. I got to remember, God said, by his stripes are healed. And you got to just lay yourself down.
Yeah.
I'm thankful for a balance where you can come in here and you can get word upon word. I hear God talking from the first time that he gets up. And he gets up and he's like, you know what? He was doubtful for a second, but then you know what? Who am I? Who am I? You're not going to talk me out of who I am.
Right.
You can't talk me out of this. I've come too far.
That's right.
I have come too far for you to talk me out of. And I don't care what you go through. We all go through it. We're not special. We're not immune. But you know what? I love to have a body that can lift me up.
Yeah.
When I'm feeling a little bit down or I'm starting to molt. We're in the eagle age, are we not?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And what do the eagles do? They help each other out. So when you talk about our elders and what they do, yes, they do a lot. So you know what that makes me do? Let me do that much more. Yeah. That's what I want to do. Let me do that much more.
Right.
If there's a empty mic stand, let me sing.
Yes.
I may not be able to sing well, but you know what? He said make a joyful noise.
Yes.
He didn't ask for a chorus of angels.
Right, right.
He said make a joyful noise. He said praise me.
Right.
While he was up on the throne, there was praise all the time.
All the time.
So why is there not praise here?
Come on.
I don't want to be guilty of that.
Right.
No. And it's not even a work. It's a manifestation.
That's
what I love about it. It's not a matter of I have to work something up.
No.
It's just who I am now. Because you know what? Once you've been born again, that, like you said, you eat of that. You will produce that.
Yeah.
It's inevitable. You can't be like you see, like, My mom and dad, they've been together for a really, really long time. They're two birds of a kind. They act like each other. They talk like each other. I want to talk like my husband. I want to act like my husband.
That's right.
I want to be like him.
I want to sound like him.
You want to sit over here like, he's over here talking plants into existence, and I'm over here like, well, I don't know if I can deal with that. Oh, I don't know. No. Shake me.
Yeah.
Shake me.
That's right.
That's why it's important to gather yourself closest, because you can't shake yourself at home. You can't get this in a closet. You can't. If you have the ability, like the prescription says in the subtext, if you have the ability to make it while the doors are open, gather yourself closer. Amen. There's benefits to it. Yeah. And I love that because, yes, you would be insane like this, like the world.
Yeah.
The world's empty. The world's lost.
Right.
And I love the fact we have perfect love.
Yeah.
That we're not sitting there like, oh, look at them and look at us. No. I just want, if you could just, they're just missing one thing, one very important thing. But they're missing one thing. If they could just have an understanding, there'd be no problems.
Right.
Because it's an end of a struggling nature.
Yeah.
There has to be an end of a struggling nature. Just like that, there has to be a body change. It's not a matter of like, well, if it happens, it happens. That's what how God never always brings his word to pass. It's not a matter of, I just love the fact that I'm believing on something that's going to happen.
Amen. Yeah.
Amen. I'm not out there waiting for like a, it's not a form and fashion.
No.
I'm believing a real living and breathing God.
Yes.
So when he says, sacrifice your son, well, Lord, I don't know how it's going to look. He didn't see the ram in the bush. He didn't know how it was going to happen, but he knew it was going to happen. He says, you know what? We're going to get the dead up. Well, I don't know how that's going to happen, but you know what? It's going to happen.
Prophesy.
I don't know how. He said prophesy. He didn't say prophesy anything new.
No.
He said, just say it again.
Yeah.
Say it again. That's all we're doing.
Yeah.
We're prophesying to the world.
Yeah.
I love the fact we even have a revelation of what that is. It's
right.
It's this live stream. Yeah. I was like, well, I've never been outside of Fairmorn. My voice has.
Yeah.
Obviously, he's talking about a sister in Hawaii hearing me. I'm talking across the world. So that's why it's important that you identify.
No.
That's why it's important that you get up and you say something.
That's right.
Because how do we know where you stand if you don't express it? And the thing, though, is you got, it's so simple, and it makes my heart warm. He's given me so many blessings.
Yes.
So many blessings, undeserving. Oh. You can't even sing the song the same. He's given me so much. I woke up this morning. I woke up.
Yeah.
You know what? If I didn't wake up, I still win. Who else can say that? Death, where is your sting? Grave, where's your victory? He's taking away it all. He's got the keys.
They got nothing.
I love that because you know what? I got up. I'm like, Lord, give me a breath. You know, you start thinking, and you start putting that scripture in your. I love the, Pavel's got that Ephesians 4 on his refrigerator. Cast all things out. All things. Not some things. Not certain things. All things.
Yeah.
So what am I holding on to? I'm not holding on to anything else. I don't care what my life looks like. I don't care how I can walk. All I say is like, you know what? And if I can't live up to it, it's nothing but the truth. Because that's what a believer does. He believes. Amen. He's not a liver. He's a believer. Amen. So I thank God for revelation.
Amen.
And thank God to have an ear to hear. Thank God. And that's another thing. He predestinated me because he knew what I was going to do with it.
Yeah.
He knew what I was going to do with it. He couldn't give it to anybody else because they didn't know what to do with it. But he knows, hey, I'll give it to this guy. I'll give it to that guy.
Yeah.
God gave you a little piece of him.
Oh, yeah.
He gave you eternal life.
Elect.
You are sealed. Sealed to the day of redemption.
Yeah.
There is nothing else I can say besides thank you, Lord.
Yes.
What else do you want?
Thank you, Lord.
Because you know what? This is real.
Yes.
This is consistent. Amen. This message, we've seen it throughout the years, and it's not new.
No.
Has been getting brighter.
Yes.
And brighter and brighter. And eventually, all we're going to do is just open eyes.
That's it.
And we're going to see Brother Childers.
Yeah.
We're going to see Brother Neil. Sister Alice, you call your loved ones. You know who's getting up by name.
Yeah.
Nobody else knows that there's a resurrection, let alone a rapture. They're waiting for a tribulation period. I know I'm going to be like, come on, little bride, let's go.
Let's go.
And I'm going to see them. And like this, you know how fast your eyes blink? You guys have blinked a lot since I've been up here. Like that, you'd be changed. And that's not just a matter of like, well, Lord, if it's your will, I'll be waiting. I'm pushing.
Yeah.
I'm pulling. I don't know what I'm pulling for. I don't know how I'm pushing, but I know, you know what? Brother Moore says this. Okay. That's all you got to do.
That's
I ain't
it.
Worried about, he just, you got to follow your leader. That's why I love that, how easy. It takes the work out of it.
Right.
If I have a problem, like, oh, Brother Moore, just take it. Yeah. You know, that's, yeah. Oh, Lord, just take it. And we have it so easy.
We do.
So, Lord, I just am thankful for revelation.
Amen.
I'm thankful I can come in here and take the armor off.
Yeah.
Where you can be safe. Because you talk like this out there about a rapture, about seeing the dead,
oh, yeah.
They'd lock you up in a heartbeat.
Yep.
Because they don't understand it. There's no place in them for it. But you know what? They can still see. There's something different about you, Seth. There's something different about this. They should say about all of us.
Yeah.
You're the best worker. How'd you learn how to do that? Church. It wasn't here. It wasn't with me. If it was up to me, I'd lie. I'd cheat. I'd try to get the easy way out. But no, he said you should be the best worker.
Right.
You shouldn't be unemployed. You should have a job. If it's scraping trash off the floor, then yep. Thank God for a place.
Yeah.
Thank you for a meaning. So, Lord, thank you for revelation. Thank you for an understanding.
Thank
you for one more chance I can darken
thank
these
you,
doors
Lord.
And fill that prescription, because I know no matter what I'm going through, it's already provided. He's already raised the standard.
Amen.
There's already a ram in the bush.
Yes.
So what am I worried over? So, Lord, thank
Amen.
You.
Amen. Amen.
Do the announcements here. This Saturday, June 1st, we'll have the Women's Fellowship in the back of the church. That's at noon. And then Brother Jay and Jeremiah are going to Elkton, Kentucky, June 8th and 9th. And the church camping trip to Indiana is July 20th. We'll be leaving here at 2 p.m. So we'll sing I've Anchored in Jesus, page 157.
Amen.
Upon life's boundless ocean, where mighty billows roll, I've fixed my hope in Jesus, blessed anchor of my soul. When trials fierce assail me, as storms are gathering more, I rest upon His mercy and trust Him more. Oh, I've
anchored in Jesus,
the storms of life outbreak. I've anchored
in Jesus,
I fear no wind or wave. Yes, I've
anchored in Jesus, for He has the power to save.
Well, I've anchored
in the rock of ages.
He keeps my soul from evil and gives me blessings. His voice has stilled the waters and bid their tumult cease. My pilot and deliverer, through Him I all confide. For always when I need Him, He's at my side. Yes, I've
anchored in Jesus,
the storms of life I'll brave.
I've anchored in Jesus, I fear no wind nor wave. Yes, I've anchored in Jesus, for He had the power to save.
I've anchored in the rock of ages. He is my friend and Savior,
in Him my anchor's cast. He drives away my sorrows and shields me from the blast. By faith I'm looking upward beyond life's troubled seas. There I behold a heaven prepared just for me. Well, I'm anchored in Jesus.
Well, I've anchored in the rock of ages. He is
is my friend and Savior. In him my anchor's cast. He drives away my sorrows and shields me from the blast. By faith I'm looking upward beyond life's troubled sea. There I behold a haven prepared just for me. Yes, I've anchored in Jesus, the storms of life I'll breathe. Yes, I've anchored in Jesus, I fear no wind nor wave. Yes, I've anchored in Jesus, for he has the power to save. Well, I've anchored in the rock of ages. Yes, I've anchored. The storms of life I'll brave. Yes, I've anchored in Jesus. I fear no wind nor wave. Yes, I've anchored in Jesus, for he have the power to save. Well, I've anchored in the rock. Yes, I've anchored in the rock. Oh, I'm anchored in the rock of ages.
Amen. Let's bow our heads. Lord Jesus, thank you for this opportunity to get together. Lord, thank you for blessing us with a wonderful service thus far, Lord. Lord, thank you for such a strong testimonies of believers that have gathered here with the expectation that you're going to speak again. Lord, bless the prayer requests that go out, spoken and unspoken. Lord, bless those that are out that couldn't make it here. Bless those that should be here, Lord, to help them get back to the house. But tonight, Lord, we're going to enjoy those that are here. Let us enjoy, rejoice over the word and just fellowship with you for a few moments while we get a chance. Move the hearing speaker out of the way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. It's good to be here. Thanks, Sister Mel, for the water. You guys always hook me up with that. I've been a little bit expensive on the church. They keep buying me bottled waters. Before, we just had communal cups back in the day. That was before COVID, obviously, but it was just communal cups. But now I got the bottled water, so I'm very grateful for that. Appreciate it. Before I get started here, I wanted to thank everybody that had a chance to come out for Jada's graduation. We had a great, great time. It was just a really cool event because Jada was graduating. Those are my favorite graduations, the ones that my kids are in. I don't go to any other ones. I really don't. I mean, I don't pay that much attention. But that one I paid a lot of attention. And it was great to see the body there. You guys were well represented. And the compliment that they gave me, that I really appreciate it. The head of the school said that celebration was obnoxious, and that was my goal the whole year. So it worked out perfect. We had, you know, 4-foot fat heads, about 15 of them in the crowd. We had posters everywhere screaming, and I tried to smuggle in a bullhorn, but wasn't able to do that. But anyway, it just shows you that I was really proud of my daughter for graduating. Happy that that takes a village. It takes a village to get through that. So It was, you know, like the water, it was a communal effort for all of us to be able to do that and get her there. So appreciate you, Jada. And I know she's got some more steps to go, but getting that one out of the way is nice. One step at a time. So appreciate that. Thank you for that, for coming out. So we're going to get started in here and listening to you guys testify. And it's like every time, I'm like, my goodness, can you give me a second? I know the way the services are set up, the song leader and that, but I'm at the point, I'm kind of sitting over there like, I might just start leading songs. And then that way I can control who's testifying, and I'll just cut it off. Right when I see a Seth or a Dwayne start, I'll be like, there, you're the last one, right in the middle. Like, I don't want anybody else to get in that vein and take all the stuff. And it's kind of interesting because we have, in Kentucky, when we go to Kentucky, Brother Spivey would meet us at the hotels a lot. And he would sit with us, and we'd sit there, and we'd talk. And he'd say, well, what are you thinking about preaching on? And he'd ask the scriptures, and as if he cared. Like, he was really inquisitive, like, trying to help you out. Like, what scripture? Matthew? Ephesians? Oh, I like that. I like that. And you would just, you know, pour your heart out to him, say, this is what I'm thinking about. And no sooner he'd get there at church and just start going, you know, over in Ephesians and then over in Matthew, and you'd be sitting there like, hey, kind of like pulling your robe like, hey, I was going to preach on that. And but anyway, God always bless us. So there's plenty of word in there. You can take all you can say and I can take all I can say and we'll come back and do it again. So, you know, but I was looking at this and, you know, I had the chance this week to see, you know, a paragraph worth of notes that are linked to probably several pages of notes. And I was like, man, you know, I was looking at that and it got my mind thinking about different things. But Pastor Moore, you said something on Sunday that's where I'm going to be talking about. You had a lot of notes and then you said, this is off my notes, but you started talking about the talents. And I thought, I'm going to go into that a little bit more. And Brother Dwayne was doing that as well. So I thought, we're in the same vein, brother, but I was looking at that. So we're going to go into that. And if you've got your Bibles, let's turn over to Matthew 25. Because, you know, God does have a promise for us. He even says over in Matthew 24, as you're turning to 25, says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never, never, never pass. And that word won't fail. You know, God always protects his word. Even Brother Jeremiah preached about that last week. You know, his word is what he's obligated to protect. And if you're a carrier of the word, then now you, by default, get protected. That's just how it works. So I was looking at that. I thought, you know, a lot of times, you know, we hear these things and, you know, where they come from and the scriptures that they come from. And so it's nice to know the origin of these things. But so let's go over and read Matthew 25, and it's over in verse 14 through 30. A little bit of reading. But Matthew 25 is very familiar because we read the first half of that. That's talking about the virgins, the foolish virgins, the wise and the foolish and the wise virgins. So even in that story, you know, we can come back to it, but even in that story, they had to use the talents that they had. You know, you couldn't just walk around with the oil. You had to light it. You know, you had to use what you had. But anyway, let's go here and read here. Matthew 25 says, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his servile ability. And straightway took his journey to each of their abilities. I like that. And straightway took his journey. Once he gave it to him, he left out. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of the servants cometh and reckoned with him. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought the other 5, saying, Lord, thou hast delivered unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's where that comes from. A lot of times people just say that quote, but that's where that comes from. So, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's using your talents that God gave you. And they say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things, and enter thou into the joy of the Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou hast delivered unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Both of them doing a good job. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Then he which that had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man. This is a different testimony. Reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou, basically calling him a liar, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sow not, thou gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received my own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. So since you're not going to use it, let me give it to somebody else. For unto everyone that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from he that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness, where there should be weeping and gnashing of teeth. May the Lord add his blessings to the word. I thought about that. I thought, you know, you get those talents, And you got to use them. Yes, sir. Like everybody gets a measure of talent. They get all these little talents. And I thought, you know,
we can look at a lot of examples of people getting different things. And Pastor Moore used a tremendous amount of examples on Sunday. You know, he talked about, you know, Moses, how Moses was on the bad end, the good side of getting something. When God called Moses to do a job, Moses initially, I can't do it by myself. Send Aaron with me. I can't speak. I need this, right? You get to the point where God's like, what do you got in your hand? Just use what you got. Look, you got a stick? Just use that. Just use what I already gave you. He didn't have to go get anything else. Just use that. And then you've got the story of, you know, Joshua. Joshua was strong and courageous. He used what God gave him and took that faith and said, I serve the God of Moses. Served the same God Moses served, but he took it a different way and said, you know, I'm going to use that. Even when you look at even what happened with Noah. Noah did what he had to do. Jonah did what he had to do. These are just different examples of people taking what God had told them to do and then just edifying and going into abundance what God had said to do. Because even thinking about Jonah, I thought, you know, Jonah was told to go to Nineveh, and he went fishing. Little did Jonah know that the people of Nineveh served the fish god. And little did he know that the fishing he was going to do was going to be a little different than what he thought. Jonah got out there and thought he was catching fish, and he got caught by a fish. Jonah thought he was running from God, and he got transported right to where he needed to go. There's just two different examples there, but I thought, you know, it's great to listen to the Old Testament stories. It's good to hear about the Old Testament stories, and I love them. You need to talk about that, Brother Chris, those Old Testament stories. I know them, and I love them, and they're great reference. But lately, what I've been needing to draw off of is some of these New Testament stories. I need to look at that, and I go, well, what if God gave you a talent to cook? Right? You had this talent to cook, and you were a good cook. You used that talent a little bit. At home, cooked for your family. When people come over, you make a little sandwich for them, you make something, and you make something, you cook for them. But when the church has a get-together, or we need some help cooking for the group, now you know you have that talent. Everybody knows you have that talent. Everybody that's ate your food knows you have that talent. But when the church needs you to produce or to use it, you say, I'm too shy. I don't have time. You don't use that talent. Now, that's one side of it. But what if you was like Sister Dawn? What if you used that talent and then just gave it all away? Just started edifying the body. You think about how much she's benefited the body just by letting that little talent. Now, she's got a bunch of other talents. But that's just a small example of a talent that a lot of people have that don't use it like she uses it. So when you don't do your talent, you know what God's got to do? He's got to keep blessing Sister Dawn. You come to the church cookout, don't bring nothing. Guess what Sister Dawn now knows how to make? Green bean casserole, because you forgot to bring yours. When you normally know how to do some kind of potato salad, but you don't bring it. So he's got to take your talent and give it to Sister Dawn. So that way the body can still get the talent that God gave you. I'm just telling you, when God gives you a talent, just use it. He'll supply the overflow, the abundance. Just give him everything you got. Why are you holding on to it thinking, oh, I got to do so much? If he only shows you how to toast bread, just toast the bread. Oh, all I know how to do is boil the water. Well, then when we have late night fellowships, make some coffee. I'm just telling you how to get Satan out of the way. Because what you'll do is you'll sit there and wait for something great. Oh, I'm waiting until I learn how to play the piano. You know how you're going to learn how to play the piano? You got to walk over there and hit a key and learn a chord and learn this and learn that. You don't just sit here and go, yeah, when he puts it on my heart and he gives me that talent, then I'm going to play it. No, you're going to have to start using it. When you sit there and you can hear the different keys in your head, that means you got some musical ability in there. There's some people that can't hear the keys. And you can say, well, I can hear a difference between a G and a F. Maybe if I just hit G, I can sing in G. Hit F, I can sing in it. I'm just telling you how to get Satan off of you. I'm telling you how, if this is a year of dedication, I'm showing you some ways, some examples on how you can get dedicated. Because when you're in the will of God, you're doing his purpose. He's obligated to take care of you. He's obligated to take care of you, those that are in his will. I thought about that some more. I thought, you know that reward of Sister Dawn got? That made me think of that story Brother Branham told about Hattie Wright. You know that story. Refresh your memory a little bit. Brother Branham's at a house, And he's preaching. Brother Branham is preaching to some people in another room. Hattie Wright is not in that room. Hattie Wright hears Brother Branham as she's washing dishes or something in the kitchen. And she says, that ain't nothing but the truth. Now, for context, Brother Branham is preaching to other people. Hattie Wright says in another room, that ain't nothing but the truth. God saw her faith. God saw her belief. And he stopped the service. Now he's sitting with other people that are supposed to be believers, that are supposed to be taking in every word. And he hears Hattie Wright. He stops it and says, Hattie, do you know what you've done? This faith has touched God. Hattie, God has told me to let you know to ask for whatever you want. You know what Hattie Wright asked for? The salvation of her boys. And they were bad boys. Probably still bad boys. I never followed them. But they're taken care of. Brother Branham even so much as went in the 61. He said, if Hattie Wright asked for $1 million, it would have had to show up. That's how strong God was moving at that moment. And you say, well, Brother Jay, what are you getting at? What does that say? I'm telling you, Sister Dawn gave all of her talent, gave all that she has to the church. And God was so moved that he said to her, Sister Dawn, your husband makes good money. You got this, you got that. What would you want to ask for? Now, we've been witnesses of this testimony. She said, you know what I want? I want to sit here with my kids at service. And God has blessed her with that. God has given her that desire that she's asked for. Now, I'm just telling you, I'm showing you examples of what it looks like when you follow wholly the word of God. And you go, well, Brother Jay, Elise is a knucklehead. I can use Elise. Right? Well, and Johanna's a knucklehead. And Seth is the only good one out of all of them. And Kara, right? You can say that. But they're here serving God. With her. She gave God, and God said, Don, what do you want? Ask for whatever you will. And that's what she's asked for. And we're witnesses to it. I'm showing you that thinking not strange to see God move today. You know, we think about all those stories where Samson, you told that story, Pastor Moore, and even Brother Branham said the paradox was that the jawbone stayed together as he was killing those soldiers. That was the paradox. I thought, my goodness, one person being able to kill 1,000 people should be the paradox. But being at that bone, being able to hold up with all the density, being able to go through helmets and swords and shields, that now when you think about it, that is the paradox. But that's God moving. Just note, Samson didn't ask for that. Samson didn't place it there. Samson didn't even show up with anything ready to fight. All he did was show up. And you think that we need you to work something up? Come on. Just give God the vessel. Amen. It's your choice to do it. It's your choice to just give God what you have. He's going to get what he wants. Amen. The word is going to move with or without you. This thing marches on with or without you. Amen. Whenever you think you're too big for this, we'll replace you. Amen. You'll get replaced. Amen. Immediately. You won't even know it happened. You'll be training your replacement. You won't even know it. I've been here for 30-something years. I've seen you train. I've seen people train their replacement. Get so high and mighty, don't even know that the job position's been posted. Don't even know. Where are you getting that from, Brother Jay? I can talk about myself. Oh, when I was song leading, they were training their replacements. They didn't even know it. Here's where you're going to sing this. Here's how you're going to say that. And the whole time I'm like, well, I can't sing, and I don't know any of these songs, and I don't know how to go, and I guess I'm just going to have to get in there, and I'll sing the ones I know. And then when I learn another one, I'll sing that one. I'll add that to my list, and now I got a list of 1,500 songs that I know. But I knew 5. And I was a knucklehead kid that didn't pay that much attention. But they started training their replacement. I'm just telling you how it works. I'm showing you what I've seen, and I'm saying that in this day and hour, when God is obligated to protect his word, be in the will of God and know it. You don't have any room to not know that you're in the will of God right now. It's so freely given, this information. It's so broken down. And I thought, my goodness, Now, what if God gave you the talent to play an instrument? You could play it in concerts. You could play it at school. You could play it at home sometimes when you learn a song that you like. But then when it's time to do song service, you leave it at home. Don't go to the practice. Don't make an effort. You don't even play church songs at home. You don't even learn them. You don't even use that talent that God gave you to come and bless the body. Or you could be like Sister Christy, who God gave her that talent. She's, you know, on Sunday's morning, she's here about an hour early, playing 4 and 5 songs, even if we don't get her up, practicing. And you go, well, Brother Jay, what are you getting at? I'm telling you, let me show you how it blessed the body. Sister Christy has added another dimension to our worship service. That now people say, even if I don't have time to learn the accompaniment, I'll bring it with me. Oh, where did you see that? I saw Brother Skyler do it. I saw Brother Skyler say, this is a song I want to sing. You know what? I've seen the example laid before me by somebody else already getting out of the way and using the talent that God gave them. This is a song I like to sing, and I want to sing it so soon I won't have a chance to get with the musicians. I'll use the same thing that God blessed Sister Christy with, that same faith that she stepped out on, and I'll use that to sing my song when I get up here. And then guess what? The body is blessed by it. So now the next person is sitting there saying, I can't let anything get in the way of me being able to praise God. If I don't know the accompaniment, I can bring it with me. If I don't know all the words, they'll post it up there. If I can't even sing it, I'll have them sing it with me. Now that's getting out of the way. And you say, Brother Jay, what are you talking about? I'm showing you how to work out. I'm showing you, when you start eating this protein that we get in here, you need to start putting it to use. I'm showing you how to exercise those muscles, so that way when you do face something, because in here you ain't facing nothing. In here is the easiest time it is to praise God. In here is the most support you'll ever get. In here is the most understanding, the most grace, the most love that you'll ever get. But when you're out there, when you're out there by yourself, when you're out there and you got to fight that devil, when you got to go push that weight, when you got to deal with the coworker, when you got to deal with your spouse that don't go to church, when you got to deal with people that don't even love God, then these muscles start to come to work. Then it starts to work for you. And here we're just eating. It's a bunch of bodybuilders in here just eating protein. We're in here talking about our workouts. I'm here letting you know how you can get your arms stronger. I'm here letting you know how you can get your delts built up. I'm here letting you know how you can get your abs stronger in that core. That's what we're doing right now. I'm giving you real examples that you can look at today on what to do. Because God's just blessing you. Because you go, oh, Brother Jay, where are you getting? It's God in flesh or it ain't. It still comes back down to that. I can give you an example, so I'm blue in the face. I got maybe one or two more. But it's still God in flesh. That is the difference maker between us and every other church, is that we see God in flesh and they don't. That's the real difference. When you get a revelation, it should tie you into a new birth that ties you into a body that gives you the whole condescending plan of God, where he came down from a spirit form into man. Amen. The word was made flesh. That's what we celebrate at every service, is the ability to see God in flesh. Yes. Oh, Brother Jay, what do you get? I'm letting you know that if you don't see God in flesh, that's where room for confusion shows up. Because then you know what you start doing? You start separating it. Yeah, maybe it's God, maybe it's not. Maybe God said it, maybe God didn't. Maybe I thought this, maybe. You get divided. You get unstable in all your ways. Because you come here in the house of God, the only place where you know God is, and then you start doubting. Don't make no sense. Pull on these examples that God's given you. Oh, I mean, we can... I got one more example in here, but I was looking at this. I thought, you know, and to the world, let me say this right. I'm kind of like Brother Isaiah said. I want to make sure I get the words out just right. I look at this and I go, on one side of it, I can be the most humble person there is. I can come in here and say, God did it all. He took care of my whole life. He took my family. We were economically, we were in the bottom of the barrel. And God moved us right next to church, surrounded us with believers and support that took care of us when we couldn't take care of ourselves, that financially helped us get through everything. And now that I'm on top of the mountain, so to speak, I got a job, got a family, got a house. If I can give back a little bit to this place that took care of my whole life, it would be worth it to go to church just for that. Just for that. Are you serious? You go, oh, let's talk about it economically then. I can go with some numbers. We got some smart people in here. Let's talk about the numbers. If you worked a four-hour week job that was paying you $100,000 a year, would it be worth it to log in for 4 hours? Would it be worth it to just log in a little bit and listen to what they got to say for the two meetings a week we have? Would it be worth it? Oh, but my kids, they're noisy. I tell them to shut up. I got a two-hour meeting. This thing takes care of all the bills. Shut up for a couple minutes. Oh, my wife wants this. Shut up for a couple minutes. This two-hour meeting takes care of everything. This 4 hours a week is everything to me. Just economically, you would look like a fool if you went against that. You say, wait, you'd rather work full-time and make $30,000 a year, working 50, 60 hours a week, not knowing anything, not knowing where anything comes from? That's what you would rather do? Or you just rather go for 4 hours a week? Get every answer, have no questions. Somebody's taking care of you with the best benefits, the best vacation package. I get unlimited PTO at this company. All my days feel like days off. I'm telling you, I can't even have a bad, you know, I got up this morning and it started off like a firestorm. It was so many fires that needed to be put out, and it started off at like 6 a.m. And it was just boom, 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 boom. Then I get a text talking about the fullness. Ooh. Woo! You know what that did? It was like a reminder that it was like the travel confirmation when you're about to go somewhere nice. It was like, hey, it's almost time to board. Hey, your ticket's been confirmed. Hey, bibbity bobbity boop, you're going to Disney. I started looking at that. I was like, hold on. I got a better job than this. All this stuff is gonna fade away. The rapture will take care of this. And then I started looking at it a little different. I thought, oh, I know why it starts so early. It's Wednesday night. Then it started changing my thinking. I showed up to the job site just as happy. They're like, whoa, I thought you, did you get that other call? Did you get that other? Oh, yeah, I got it. We'll take care of that. We'll be out of here by 5 today. Don't worry about it. Oh, I had some rest. It was an end of a struggling nature. I had been working these muscles out. I had been leaning on God so much that when I saw just an avenue for him to get in there, crack that door all the way open. When I saw just a twinkle of an eye that can get him in there, that situation, I wouldn't let him all the way in. Oh, matter of fact, let me go ahead and turn on Sunday service while I'm thinking about it and just have that playing in the background. Oh, let me work on this song that I was thinking. It started changing everything. It changed. I'm just telling you how it works. I'm telling you, how you can be like Sister Courtney says, I got good days and great days. You start working these muscles out, it'll change everything for you. Oh, let's talk about another example. What if God gave you the talent to break things down, to explain things? What if you were raised in a large, large house where organization was paramount for survival? Rough side of the tracks where you're going to have to need to know the good and the bad and have to how to keep a secret, so to speak. What if that was how you were raised? And through that, you learned a sense of loyalty, honor, respect, and how to lead. God gives you that talent. You can take that talent, be a good coworker. You can go to work. You know how to handle problem situations. You can be a good problem solver. Get promoted. You work hard. You know how to work in large groups. You know how to work on a team. You can use it there. What if we got a project at church that needs some help, needs some leadership, needs somebody to know how to lead, needs somebody that knows how to break things down so that the rest of the people know what their roles are? Because not everybody is a leader. The leader has to know that, hey, this is a project I can let this guy go and run off by himself, or this is one I got to send a couple people to help him out. This is one I got to manage. This is one I can let it go. That's a good leader. He even knows who can lead. He knows how much even to give that person. And then you get that kind of person under one of the strongest leaders, that person would be Pastor Moore. And then if they give their heart, give all of their talent, all of their talent to that, to what God gave them, we're all of us are blessed from it. I'm blessed at work. I'm blessed at home. I'm blessed at how. I'm blessed in every part of my life because of him giving, because he gave. I'm blessed for it. I know how to follow because I saw how he followed. I know how to lead because I saw how he leads. I know how to pick up and start a job when nobody else does it because I saw him do it. I wouldn't have known how to do it if I didn't see him do it. Oh, you get a, I get a parent, I get a father, I get a mother. That ain't where I learned that from. That's not where I learned that from. I'm just speaking for me. I didn't learn how to hold up my obligations from my dad. That's not where I learned that from. That's not a knock against him. He learned from his dad. Oh, but then Jesus came and said, Brother Jay, you're going to need to learn a little bit more. You're going to need to be able to step it up another level. You got some more people that are going to be dependent on you. You can't just manage a team of two now. You got to manage a team of four. I'm going to need you to know how to keep that half family together because we've got a job to do. You got to get this word out. You're going to need to be able to pick the right wife. You're going to be able to need to raise your kids so that way they can stay there and support you so you can get the word across. Oh, I couldn't just go haphazardly and get anybody because I needed somebody to help me get the word across. But how did you even learn how to get that selection? How did you even know what to look for? How did you know what was the gold at? Right here. Oh, how did you learn how to discipline those kids? How did you learn how to have a balance? Right here. Right here. That's where I got it from. Oh, so on one side of it, I can be just as humble as humble pie. I don't know how to do anything. I don't know how to do that. But let Satan rear his hair up. Now, amongst believers, I'm just as humble as I can be. But let Satan put his head up. I'm top 1% of every category you can name. Every category you want to pick it out. Father, husband, friend, brother, worker, co-worker, income, job, life. I'm top 1% in every category. That's how you got to speak when Satan puts his head up. I don't even want him to have room to say anything about what I do. Oh, my leadership's perfect. My home is perfect. How I run my home is perfect. This is me talking to Satan now. I'm letting Satan know. I'm putting him on notice. When I see his spirit pop up, we unite as a family and say, hey, honey, Satan's trying to get in here. That's my leadership coming in. I'm putting us all in one mind and one accord. I'm letting them know, hey, I see a spirit trying to come into the house. Let's get together here. And I'm letting her know, hey, tell the kids when they get up, Satan's still trying to get in here. Let's be on guard. Hamper down. Close the windows. Close the doors. Let's lock it down in here. That's the leadership in there. I'm putting those jobs in place. Learning where I can do those things. Where'd you learn that from, Brother Jay? Right here. I learned it from my examples right here. Because why? I saw God in flesh. I didn't see just a man. I see God in flesh. Amen. Oh, you talk about God will provide. God's been providing for you. God's been providing for you. He's put sacrifices out there when you didn't even know it. He's got rams in the bush everywhere you go. And at this late of an hour, you should be able to see it when you get up to the altar. At this late of an hour. Now, when we talk about the story of Abraham, when he went up there, Abraham didn't see that ram in the bush. It wasn't time for it. It wasn't a time for that ram to show up in manifestation and let him know that everything was okay. It wasn't time for him to see all things. It wasn't time for him to know all the secrets. It wasn't time for him to see all the way forward and all the way back. But it's time now. There's a group that sees all the way forward and all the way back. So when we do have to show up to an altar to give a sacrifice, we should still be able to see that ram in the bush. Why? Because God's already told us you're going to finish this thing. The same promise he gave Abraham when he said, I'll give you your son. Now, had God said to Abraham, Abraham, I will give you a son and he will never die. He will have eternal life. He will never die. No matter what he goes through in life, he will never die. Had he said that to him, then when God said, go slay your son, he said, this is going to be a foolish command. You told me he can't die. It'd be a little bit, you're giving me two different instructions here. You said he can't die. I know, but just still go up there. I want to show everybody around. I want to show them that I'm taking care of him. I want you to even stab him, Abraham. And I want to prove to the world that he can't die. And you go, well, Brother Jay, what are you getting at? I'm saying if Abraham knew the whole story, if Abraham knew every aspect of the story, there would be zero opportunity for doubt. It would be easy to just trust God at whatever he asked you to do. Whatever it was he asked you to do. And you say, okay, Brother Jay, kind of see that. Where are you getting at now? I've given you three examples just tonight of how God moves just right now in this place. These are examples to show you that you know the whole story. You see how God moves. God has already said that he's going to take care of his word. He's going to see this through. You're getting the word for the hour, and you know it. You know the whole story. You know that you finished this race. God has given you the gift of eternal life, that even if hell was to assail against you, they can't. Not even even death, nor principalities, not things present, nor things to come, can separate me from the love of God. And you know that. Then why, when little battles come up, are you so quick to forget it? Why? When little things, I say little thing because everything's a little thing. Everything's a little thing. Oh, Brother Jay, you don't know what I go through. You don't know the troubles I've seen. I know a lot more than I probably say. I know that everything's a little thing. Nothing is uncommon to man, like you said. This it ain't nothing new under the sun. They've had problems for a long time. You know, you can read over in there, Noah had a drinking problem. So alcohol has been around for a little bit. Adultery's been around for a little bit. Homosexuality's been around for a little bit. These things have been around for a little bit. Don't act like it just came out. We're just in the age where nobody's hiding anything. Right? That's just this age. But there should be a group of people with the standard God has raised up that can combat everything. And, you know, and I look at this and I'm like, when we talk like this, the rest of the world just writes us off immediately. They really do. They write us off immediately. We say, I see God, and they go, oh, okay, that's a cult, gone. There ain't no way you see God. All right? They write you off immediately from there. But then let's look at what happens when I say I see God. I see God, and I got peace. I see God, and I can go to a funeral and know where my loved one's going. I see God, and I have an understanding on the whole Bible. I see God, and I know what God was before he got here. I see God, and I can tell you what's going to happen when I leave here. I see God, and I can tell you what's going to happen to my loved ones with surety. And they tell me they pray to God and don't know anything. Which relationship would you rather have? I would rather know that I can touch him than just hope that he hears me. I want to know that I can hold his hand instead of hoping that he gets my prayer request someday, somehow, whenever the mail gets to him. I want to serve a real God. The rest of the world just wants Santa Claus. They just want somebody they can write letters to, fulfill their little wishes once a year, and that's it. I want God every day. I want him in my nose hairs. If I'm acting up, I want him to say, boy, straighten up. If I'm doing right, pat me on the back and tell me to keep moving. If I need encouragement, give me encouragement. I serve a real God. Oh, with skin on him. This word has been made flesh, brothers, and it's God in the fullness, manifestation now. Oh, you know, there's so many things that tie into this. There's so many things in the Bible that wrap this in there. And that's, you know, even when John the Baptist was going out on the river and God spoke out there, that was a type there. You got so many where they got sprinkles of God. Sprinkles. They knew God existed. They knew God was there. They just didn't know how they worked in the plan. They knew they were doing what God, they had by revelation, inspiration to do what God had put on their heart. He had convicted them to do. You don't just build an ark because you hope it rains. You know it's going to rain if you're going to build an ark. You don't go against the Catholic Church with those theses just on a whim. That's not something that you do. Right, they'll kill you. And they've been known to kill a lot of people and get away with it. And then maybe 50 years later, they'll make you a saint. That's the Catholic Church. Amen. That's a scary group of people to go against if you don't have a revelation. Yeah. But in this hour, we don't have sprinkles of God. I don't have splatters of God. I'm covered in the blood. Amen. I'm covered. I am covered in this thing. I have all God. And I get it when Satan wants to rear his hair up and tell me that I do things. I know I do things wrong. Even when Brother Brandon was talking to that lady, she said, I do things that I know are wrong. Not even that I would like for them to be right. It's just, I know that they're wrong. And Brother Brandon said, that's a godly little woman. God sees the desire of your heart. My desire is to push this message forward every single chance I get. Every single chance I get, I want to go on record that I'm pushing it a little bit forward. A little bit forward. A little bit forward. If Sunday was an advancement, I want to just... If I can just lean on it, if it just tilts a little bit forward, that's fine. The next person pushes it even more. It's like that quarter game where they're just sliding the money. I don't care, just push it a little bit closer to the edge. Just a little closer to the edge, because at one of these times, I'm getting out of here. I don't. It might be a song from Sister Joy that just does something and we leave. I don't care. It might be preaching for Brother Jeremiah on a Wednesday night. I don't care. I might be sitting there in a Bible study with Brother Dwayne and we get out of here. I don't care. I just want to keep pushing this thing. Just keep pushing this thing. Keep pushing this thing. Oh, why you want to keep pushing? It's my whole life. It's my whole life. This is all I've got. This is. I don't have other options. I don't even entertain other options. You know, there's some people that like to listen to stuff because they like to listen. And on one side of that, it's good. On the other side, it's dangerous. Because you're starting to entertain things that you know not to be right. That's dangerous. You know it's not right. I don't turn on the Baptist station and listen to music and think that during the intermission they're going to preach some word that I'm going to be so just revelated. I know they got wiggle tails in that thing. It's the Baptist. By name alone, they're old. Right? They're not current with the name. And then they'll add multiple names. Methodist, Presbyterian, Baptist Church of the Catholic Apostleship. Right? They're confused too. Right? They don't even know who they are. And I'm listening to that, and I think that I'm going to get something out of it. No. No, no, no. Get back to the singing. But if you keep entertaining it, guess what you'll get? They'll start putting that doctrine on you. They'll start putting those thoughts on there. You start, well, maybe Mary Magdalene wasn't so good. Maybe Jesus, you know, they just start putting their ideas in there. And they just sprinkle it in there. A little bit, low education. You know, during that time period, the Red Sea wasn't really even that high. It was like 3 feet, and they all just walked across. And then they'll show you geographically, like, who would walk across the whole sea? Why wouldn't they just go here to where they had a little barrier reef and they could get across? I'm just telling you, just start sprinkling it in there. Even Seth will tell you, you go to college, Jeremiah, Miss Courtney, myself, you go to college, they just start sprinkling that little, because what they're trying to do is they're trying to sprinkle in some rational things. They don't have faith. See, when you're trying to put that rationalizing things and knowledge in there, you're removing faith from the equation. You're removing that it was impossible for it to happen. But I only want to talk about the impossible things.
That's it.
That's what helps me build my faith.
Yes.
Don't over-explain it to me. Tell me about the stuff that was impossible. Tell me about a snotty-nosed kid from Dayton that the superintendent said would never make it through the sixth grade that's here now with degrees and jobs and preaching. Tell me about that. Talk to me about that. How they said they wouldn't make it and I'm still here. Tell me about those stories, because that's going to build my faith. When you show me the impossible, when you say this woman was barren and couldn't have kids, but she just held on to this scripture and said, Lord, you said, if I ever run into a blood issue, this is going to be the word that I hold on to. And then I'm sitting here holding the baby. Let me see those impossible things. Let those things strengthen up my mind. Oh, don't tell me all the ways it can't happen. Tell me what God can do. Because when I'm going through something hard that is my mountain that I created, I want to know how I'm going to get through it. Don't tell me that I got to sit there and wait it out. Tell me how I'm going to get a way of escape. Oh, I was dealing with something, and God just struck this on my heart. I was listening to the services, and I was doing stuff, and I was paying bills. Paying bills is fun if you got a lot of money, right? You don't even care. You're like, that money goes there. You just do it on your phone. You don't even balance it. You're just like, send, whenever they get it, right? But when you're counting it, and you got the pencil over here, calculator over here, you're like, how much did I get? Well, maybe they don't need all of it, right? Come on now. Come on. We all went to budgeting classes, right? So, you're doing those things, and it's like, but in here, you ain't got to do that. You ain't got to do that in here. You ain't got to do that in here. God gives you in the overflow in here. Yeah, we're in the surplus in here. I'm not in there doing that, but I was doing that. I was paying those bills and stuff, and I was listening to service, and it had just froze up on me, and I was the service had froze up because where I was at, and the computer was messing up, and I was like, oh, man. And I was doing some things, and I was like, oh, my goodness, I'm going to be out of money. And I just had a quiet moment, like I was talking to myself. I was like, oh, my goodness, this is going to be tough. And the service came back up. And Pastor Moore was like, you know, God will send a check if you need a check. And I was like, you know he will. You know he will. And I started thinking, you know, Brother Jay, you always say from the sky, I'm talking to myself. I'm starting to encourage myself. That word came through right on time, and I was like, you know I need to hear that. And as I started checking the mail, a little different. I wasn't looking for bills anymore. I was like, maybe the government gonna send a check to me. I might be in line for one of these things. But it just encouraged me. I was like, oh, this too shall pass. I'll figure this out. Oh, I'll make it through this. I've done it before. We'll get through this too. But I'm just showing you how when God sends that word, if you just take it as the word, oh, you can apply it right then. Don't wait till next week. Don't tell me about 3 months later when you applied the word that you got today. It's fresh right now. Apply it tonight. Try that steak right now. If God tells you how to get through something, do it right now. See, the longer you hold on to God's instructions, the less likely it is to work out for you. Just letting you know. I'm just letting you know, because you're going to have to overcome that attitude. And then the whole time you're waiting, you keep making mistakes. So that instruction in the beginning probably was, hey, what did they say? Said, go to college. It's a good example. Go to college. You know, going to college is super easy between 19 and 22. That's the easiest time to go to college. It's easy to go to college if you don't have a wife. It's easy to go to college if you don't have kids. It's easy to go to college if your parents are willing to pay for it. It's easy to go to college if you can get a scholarship. These things make college easy. Go to college at 47. Same classes. Same location from your house. But now you got a lot of other stuff. Now that's what I'm telling you is waiting to do what God said to do. Now the instructions when you got out of high school was go to college. Get a trade. Get a certificate. Do whatever. It said do something. That's the easiest time to do it. The longer you wait, the harder it is to do what God has told you to do. The harder it gets. Now you go, well, Pastor Moore, I'm quitting work so I can go back to school. Well, you can't quit now, bub. You're 45 with three kids. You've got to go. You're going to have to work and go to school. I'm sorry. You're going to do some night classes, some remote. You might have to get another job too because that's going to do some homework. I'm just telling you the instructions. This is just common sense stuff. I'm not even going in anybody's life. I'm just showing you what just is common sense. What if God tells you how to deal with your kid and you wait? Now you got a 17-year-old Hellcat that don't listen to nobody. That you can't correct if you wanted to. Now the instruction becomes different. Hey, listen, help them get out. Help them get out the house. Help them get out the house as peaceful as possible. Do a peaceful transfer of power. Get them out of there because you didn't listen for 8 years when I said you need to whoop them. You didn't listen when I said you need to do. I'm just saying, that's the word. If you wait, that's what happens. God can tell you some advice on how to deal with your boss. And you wait 4 or 5 months. And then finally, when they're giving you corrective action about the fire, you're like, well, I just went in there with a sweet attitude. Yeah, 4 months late. It's too late now, bub. Do it at the next job. These are just common sense things. I'm just sharing with you. When you listen to God immediately, that is the easiest time it's going to be to do what he asked you to do. Oh, Brother Jay. Okay, let's go back to an Old Testament example then. Jonah. We know that story. Had Jonah just listened to God when he told him to go to Nineveh, that would have been an easier ride than jumping in the belly of a fish. When Jonah was cast into the sea, see, for context, let's make sure we understand this. Jonah was committing suicide. He was on the boat, and they were all about to die, and they were like, somebody grieved God. Everybody prayed to a God, but somebody's God is mad, because this was supposed to be the best day for fishing. It was supposed to be perfect. No wind, no clouds, no snow, no rain, no, it's a perfect day. It's been forecasted since the Farmer's Almanac, the best day. Jonah gets on that boat immediately. Storms show up. So much so they go, everybody start praying because we're going to die. Like that's why they started praying. They were going to die. And Jonah, he knew his God had the ability to handle the storms. And he knew he had grieved him. He didn't pray that God forgive him and calm the storm down. He didn't even talk to him. He knew he was already in the wrong. He went up to them and said, hey, this is me. Tie me up. Because I'm not going to want to just willingly jump even over the boat. Tie me up and throw me overboard. That'll help all this. Sure, Jonah, are you sure? We can cast lots. They were like, let's cast lots to see which one. No. It's me. They tied him up, threw him over. That was suicide. He didn't think he was getting out of the ropes. He didn't think he was swimming to shore. You ever deep sea fish? You go out hours. They were deep sea fishing. You ain't swimming back to shore on that. Threw him overboard. Right at that time, that weird fish, been weird his whole life. Pastor Moore told that story. Come up and eat him. Doesn't crush him, doesn't kill him, but I don't know anybody that would want to be in a fish market for 24 hours. No refrigeration. No refrigeration. No lights. Let's make it make sense now, right? That's where he's sitting thinking, at any moment, oxygen's gone. At any moment, I'm going to die. And he just sat there and sat there. And he got to the point where he's like, well, I still am alive. I might as well just pray to God. I hadn't talked to him this whole time. I might as well pray to him. Now, you're telling me you think that route was easier than had when God said go to Nineveh, he'd have just got his bag and just went. It would have been an easy ride. He could have got lunch whenever he wanted lunch, stopped when he wanted to stop. He would have been making progress the whole time. He'd have been going there, and God would have been, go ahead, go your way. Bless the trip. Got him there quicker than he would have thought. So what I'm telling you, when God says to do something, the faster you do it, the easier everything is. And we're looking at this thing, and I'm saying it's a year of dedication. We're focused on getting the rapture out of here. Let's just give God our whole heart. Now, let's just give him everything. You know, the scripture says, if God be God, then just serve him. Right? Why halt you between two opinions is how it starts off. Why are you so divided in your mind? If God be God, then just serve him and let him take care of the rest of it. Oh, Lord, I want to do more. Just serve him now. Right? Just serve him with what you got. Lord, I want to be a great example. Don't worry about it. You'll build up to whatever it is he wants you to be. Lord, I want to be a great prayer warrior. Well, you know how to become a prayer warrior? Let me give you some insight. You got to go through something. You got to go through some dark times and see God come through, and that builds your faith to become a prayer warrior. The people that are the most prayer warriors have had some dark times. And I thought about that. I thought, you know, now I get down here in a second. I thought one time I prayed for a promotion. I'm going to show you. I prayed. I was like, Lord, man, they keep passing me over for this management spot. Praying for this job. I want to be a manager. I wasn't really clear in how that was supposed to happen. I should have said, Lord, I want to be a manager at this company. And we go through. They moved to some other bank and did some things. I was there for like 3 months. They failed the audit, and they was like, you're fired. You can't fail an audit as management. What? Wait. I was just praying for a management position. Right. 2 weeks later, the other bank said, hey, we want to hire you, not as a banker investment that you were before. We want to hire you as a manager. Okay, I'll take it. But my goodness, I should have been a little bit more specific. Right? That was some dark times. But all that, you know what it did? When I got that job, I started going, oh, I need to make sure I pray the right way. He hears me when I talk. I need to make sure I say exactly what I want when I pray. When somebody says, hey, you know, my wife is barren, I say, hold on now. You want a boy or a girl? Because when I pray, he's going to hear me. You want to make sure you want me to say twins? I'm kind of kidding, but I'm looking at it saying, that's how my faith is, though. I'm joking on the outside, but I really believe that when I ask God to do something, he's moving. When I ask him to heal, he's healing. Because I've been through some dark times where I've seen him come through when nobody thought it could happen. And these are examples that I want you to use when you're dealing with Satan out there. Is that sometimes you got to fight for this thing. Sometimes you got to stand up for this thing and say, I know what right is. I know what God is. I know what the revelation that I have is. And let's apply that thing. Because God is real. We serve a real God, saints. We serve a real God. We're real people that serve a real God. And when we go through real problems, we got a real God to get us through it. You know, I thought, you know, Pastor Moore's been preaching to us, and Jeremiah, I mean, we get the best of everything. You know that? You know, my wife was talking about her mom was looking at Book of Revelations and was afraid. And I thought, my goodness, we get Book of Revelations on a Sunday night. Like, this is poof, in passing. I mean, we get in passing what people are stumbling over. You know who's getting up. Do you know there's people that don't even know who's going to heaven? They don't even know who's going to be there. And you know who's getting up in the order that they're getting up in. That's different levels of understanding. When you look at your loved ones, you don't look at the problems that they have. You don't say, oh, I wish they would come to church. I wish they would give their heart to God. You say, I know they're going to be all right. They love me. I can apply my token. This is my gift. You were talking about a talent that we have. I got the gift of eternal life that I just give out freely. See, we get too much. You know, in this situation, I'm looking at this and saying, guys, we just get blessed with too much in here. We're a blessed group of people. I mean, and you know, it breaks my heart anytime somebody doesn't want this. Because this is all I got to give. This is the only thing I have to give. This is my whole life. I don't have anything else to give. Matter of fact, here's the crazy thing about this thing. Thinking about even, you know, because I had my brothers over and we were sitting there. And even my brothers, my natural brothers, who I love beyond. I love them beyond. They don't ever think that I don't. I love them beyond. At some point, we have nothing to talk about. Like, it gets to a point in the conversation where it's just like, well, some of us got to go to work in the morning. Right? I mean, that's real. Like, you just run out of things that you have in common. But let me get around the word. Let me get around believers. Amen. Brother Jeremiah wants to talk about Genesis. We can stay in Genesis for eternity. Pastor Moore wants to go over the book of Revelations or Romans. I can stay in Romans for eternity. I can just stay in that atmosphere forever. Amen. We never run out of stuff to talk about. Never. I'm never thinking, oh, I wish I could get out of here. I'm never thinking that. This thing is too good. Amen. It gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Amen. That's how that song says, I keep falling in love with him. Over and over and over again. This thing doesn't get old. You know, the church world will have you thinking that you can fall out of love. I can't fall out of love. I fall in love with him over and over every day. This thing does get sweeter and sweeter. The more I understand, the more I see my place, the more I want to keep looking. I'm like, well, if I was in that book, I must be in this book. If I'm in this, when we saw ourselves, when the children of Egypt were coming out of there, eating in haste, that changed all the Old Testament stories. I started looking at Joshua's story a little bit different. I'm like, yeah, I'm not Moses' group. I'm Joshua's group. I was one of the few believers. A lot of people saw all the promises, but not a lot of people believed it. A lot of people saw God move, but not a lot of people believed it. You go, okay, bring a current. A lot of people were in Brother Branham's meetings. A lot of people saw the healings. A lot of people witnessed the discernment, but not a lot of people believed it. Keep going. A lot of people saw all the healings that Brother Childers did. They saw the discernment that he had. They saw the effect and the word that he carried. But not a lot of people believed it. A lot of people have been walking with Pastor Moore for a long time and seen what he can do. But not a lot of people believed it. But my, oh my, there was something on the inside of me that when that word came across my path, I couldn't help but say amen to every word. Oh, you got your scruples. What if it was a white man from Kentucky? I couldn't help but say amen to every word. If it's a black man from Dayton, I couldn't help but say amen to every word. That's as different as night and day. And I stayed right in the middle saying amen to every word. Oh, this person does this. This person does that. I don't care. What do they do with the word? That's all I'm looking at. That's it. What do you do with the word? Because that's the only thing that matters. That's the only thing that's going to stay. He said, heaven and earth will pass away, but his word. Oh, and you know what? It never goes out void, like you said, Pastor. This word doesn't go out void. There's a group of people out here that have receivers that simply say amen to every word. You reference Brother Childers, I can pick it up. You reference Brother Branham, I can pick it up. I don't care where you can reference Paul, I'll pick it up. You reference John, I'll pick it up. I have something inside of me that can't help but pick up every single word. And I don't ever want to diminish that. I don't ever want to blow that fire out. I want to keep putting wood on it. Keep putting wood on it. Keep putting wood on it. Oh, we were driving the other day and we had to go somewhere and I was with Pastor Moore. And we went by the valley and I'm in the middle of telling him something. I'm talking to him. And I had not been in the car with him when he does this, so yeah, that's exactly what he did. That's exactly what he did. He scared me. So I'm talking to him about something, and then we're talking, and he says, Brother Childers, and I'm like, wait a minute, are we done? This, hold on now. Because I listen, we all waiting. You give me the word, I'm ready to go. Because I was talking about work, so I was happy to put that down. I was like, wait, Brother Childers, you just see him where? We'll turn around right now. And that's just that real to us. That's how all of us are expecting. You knew what I was going to say before I said it, because you got that same expectation. Yeah. Don't quell that. Encourage it. Yes. Oh, now I'm looking for Lois. Now I'm looking for Danny. Oh, and now I got my list together. And now when I'm driving by some of their old haunts, I'm like, hey, just checking. Just checking. I'm not whistling through the graveyard. Oh, no, no, no. It's the living talking to the living. Amen. Oh, they were asleep and they're awake now. Oh, that's what Jesus said about Lazarus. He said he's asleep. Let me go wake him up. That's what I'm saying. Irenaeus, come on. Paul, get up. We know you're getting up. Now the bride has made herself ready, and we know it. Eating in haste, ready to go. Oh, there's not 3 minutes till midnight no more. It's the new day now. You see that revelation that you got just moved you just a little bit more. Expectation a little bit more. That's by this preaching. That's by this ministry just pushing this thing forward. Every day just getting a little bit more. A little bit more. A little bit more. So saints, utilize your talents. Don't hold it in. You're hurting us. You're hurting us if you hold it in. You're hurting us. You're depriving the body of your talent that God gave you. Matter of fact, there's a scripture that says gifts and callings come without repentance. That's over in Matthew. Don't apologize for your gift. Let it go. Let it shine. Let us enjoy it. Because when you share your gift, it's going to help the next person. Because you're going to open the door and they're going to say, oh, okay. I thought about that. I thought, you know, even Brother Warren's playing the trumpet because I shared my gift. I'm bragging myself for a second. Right? I was a little kid. They brought me in here. Neil was playing his trumpet. Neil shared his gift. We're recipients of Neil sharing his gift. Coming here, little snot-nosed kid, school, not wanting to do anything. And they're like, you're playing with Neil. Okay. Guess I'll play with Neil, thinking I'm going to just practice after church or something. No, up here. What? I don't even know these songs. Neil knows them. Okay. Has anybody played an instrument before? Just because they know it don't mean I'm going to know it. Like, I'm like, this is strange. I got to know it because you can't even see the keys. Like, you got to keep looking at him. So anyway, we're sitting up there. Neil just plays and I keep playing. Neil plays and I play. Neil plays and I play. Then sometimes Neil doesn't play and I play. Sometimes we play together and it just keeps going. And now, by us doing that, by Neil doing that, get me in there, because I was going to be the gateway for Brother Warren. Then Brother Warren gets in here and goes, well, look at that. They got some trumpets in there. I know how to play the trumpet. I can. That's what I can do. Because, you know, initially the trumpet, that wouldn't be something you would bring to say, okay, I'm going to play that at church. It's a loud instrument. Where are you going to put it? Where are you going to sit? But if you get here and you already see a couple of them, you go, well, Lord, you already made a way. There's a ram in the bush. I can give my little piece. I see a spot. I see an opening. And let me give my gift. And now, you know what? That helps Warren to have a sense of obligation. He knows we're dependent on him. He sits there, he practices his songs, he's ready. He's like, just in case, they might need me on this one. They may, and he stays ready. And you know what that helps him do? Even if he wasn't going to go to church. I don't know his Warren's life, but if he was busy, at work or something. They're dependent on me. I got a job to do. I got my gift I'm going to show. It won't even be a right service if I don't play a song. It won't even be right if I don't give my testimony. He gives his testimony, and then Brother Kevin hears Brother Warren. And then Brother Warren hears Brother Kevin. And then Brother Kevin hears Brother Chris. Brother Chris hears Brother John. Brother John hears Brother Seth. Brother Seth. See how it starts spreading through the body? It starts spreading through the body, and then we all get blessed by it. We're all blessed by it. That's just an example of it. But anyway, I love y'all. Utilize your gifts that you have. The body needs every bit of it. We need all of it. And the last thing I was going to say is I was getting ready to come up here, I was hoarse the last couple of days. And just to show you how serious I take this place, it's just an example of how serious I take it. I told my wife, I was like, I'm on vocal rest. So I would be drinking my tea, and I'd be like, I'm on vocal rest. I can't talk that much. And then we'd be talking. I would act like I'm not on rest anymore. And then whenever she wanted me to do something I didn't want to do, I'd be like, I'm on vocal rest. I can't talk. I'm on vocal rest. I can't. But in all seriousness, I was thinking, like, I got to have my voice. I've got a job. I've got a talent. They're expecting me on Wednesday night. I'm just telling you how it works. I'm thinking about y'all all week. You know, like how Brother Isaiah said, this has been on my mind. Y'all are on my mind all day. I think about y'all all day. I'm like, what's going on here? How are they doing there? What's going on? And that helps me keep me moving. I know there's a group of people that are dependent on me to get through. And when we show up, we locked in the arms and we go, let's get this thing done. You might have been weak that day. I'm strong this day. Next day, I might be weak. You'll be strong. Let's get through this thing. Help me up. I'll hold you up. You hold me up. Only one more mile. I can see the finish line now. That song in Kentucky, they sing it. I see the bright light shining. It's about time to go home now. It's going home time. Amen. Oh, my. That's what I see right now, saints. We're getting ready to get out of here. We're the only group calling for a rapture. We're the only group calling for a rapture, and that knows it's going to take place. God bless you.
Amen, Brother Jay. You know, the thing that was exciting to me while he was preaching, God gives each one of us a gift, a talent. We all have it, but I was thinking about it, and I said, think about people who are strong. They're strong because they took their one talent. We all come with one talent. That's all you get when you come to the Word. All you get is one talent. Now, some people take that one talent, and they take their seat, and they sit on it. They don't testify. They don't sing. They don't preach. They don't play. They don't do nothing. They don't clean a church. They don't cut the grass. I'm just throwing out some talents here. Everybody has one talent. When you walk through the door, God is handing you one talent. And I was sitting there thinking about this, and this turned me on. I was excited about this. I said, do you know the people who take that one talent and use it and invest it, they get more talents. I mean, if you never put your money in a stock market, you'll have your money, but that's all you got. You won't have any more. As a matter of fact, you'll end up with less because you don't end up spending what you got. You're going to waste what you've got. What I was thinking about, I said, now, God gives us, when we walk in the door, we're all on level playing. There's no expectation more out of one of us than out of the other. We all come in brand new off the street. Ha-ha, and how you doing? Good to have you here. And you come in here with your one talent, and then what do you do with it? Some people took their one talent when they said, I played trumpet in grade school. And God started using that trumpet here. And I thought about a person that's got a talent invested. When you start getting those dividends out of that investment, and you turn around and put it back into play again, then that one talent becomes three. Well, maybe you start out just testifying. Well, your one talent is just coming to church. But then you come long enough that you get born again, and then maybe God gives you a talent to be able to explain it. Some people can't explain it, but there's some people who can. And you get up and testify, and you edify the body with your testimony. So you've got two talents. And then you invest those two talents, and then you end up with four talents. You might be able to testify. You might even sing a song, and you have an instrument. But I was sitting there thinking, I said, God, I just started thinking about that. I said, do you realize the people who are the strongest believers in the church are the people who have invested that one talent, and they have turned that thing over and over and over. And some people sit here with 20 talents, 30 talents, 40 talents. And you look, and somebody coming in new, looking at somebody like Don Duskins, and they're like, I got a talent here. And Don's like, yeah, I see. But they're sitting there with their one talent, and let's just say a talent a year. Don has 40, how many? 50, 40-something. Don's got... what? 48. 47. Let's just say 47 talents. But you know what happens with these talents? This was what is exciting me, is as you get these talents and you invest it, I thought, you know, the ones who are really strong are the ones who are vested. The one who took their talent and used it for the glory of God. And the thing is, you use that talent here. But what's so good about it, and this is the trick that really turned me on about it, once you use that talent in here, when you go out there, you are so much stronger. Because of what you invested in here. And it's not even, the talents aren't even used in here. They're used out there. And the strongest Christians and the strongest believers are those who came in here and gave their talents, invested their talents, and used their talents for God. And when they walk out that door, they're not so easily persuaded by Satan. They're not so easily knocked over. They're not so easily tossed to and fro. You get somebody that's got 47 talents. Go out there and try to tell him this is fake. You try to tell Don this ain't real. He'll spit in your face, at least spiritually. But what I'm saying is, when you come in here, we're all come on the same level, but don't just bury your talent. Invest it. Turn around. Edify the body. Start talking. Start singing. Start doing something. Do something. That's why I don't let the Sunday school, when they graduate, they come out here, clap, clap, ha-ha. They're out of grade school. They're in high school now. And I'd say, don't come out here and think you're going to just sit down. You better find something to do. I'll find you something to do. Because I believe that you should use your talents. And listening to Jay tonight, I'm like, oh, my God. If people only understood the investment. And it don't just help you in here. It helps you in the world. Amen. So that when the devil tries to hound you or knock you over, you say, look, I got 20 talents. Don't talk to me. And matter of fact, I invested the whole 20. So come back and I'll have 40. Mess with me when I have 40, I'll invest all 40. See, you don't give to God and God don't give back to you. You can't beat God's giving. So the more you give to God, the more God will give to you. And the more you hold back from God, you know what? You'll lose that. Like the scripture says, I'll even take that you even think you have. But I was excited because I thought, oh, people, you need to understand what you got. Invest that thing. Don't let somebody else take your talent. Because it'll make you stronger out there. And that's where you need to be strong. It's easy, like Jay said, it's easy to be strong in here. You get up and say, I believe God. Ain't nobody going to throw something at you. Say, I believe the message. Ain't nobody going to throw nothing at you. I believe the prophet. Ain't nobody going to throw nothing at you. But you go out there in that devil's world. And you better have your breastplate and your shield and your helmet. And you better be fully dressed. But you can't get that dressing until you take those talents and invest them. And that's what makes, investing those talents is what's going to make you strong out there. Because I was sitting there thinking, I said, the strongest people we have in this church are people who are vested. And the weakest ones in our church are the ones who took their talent and hid it and buried it. And they ain't changed. They ain't moved. They ain't grown. But it's not too late. Invest today. If you've never played the stock market, you can do it today. If you've never invested your life, invest it today. Because you'll only get stronger as you invest that one talent that God... Don't take God's salvation, that one talent, and bury it. You invest that thing. Yes, he saved me. Now he can have my whole body, my whole life, whatever he wants. If he wants me to testify, I'll do it. If he wants me to sing, I'll do it. If I played an instrument, and Christy is amazing. Do you realize Christy hadn't played a flute in I don't know how long? She had been in church a long time with that one talent, and it didn't move her a bit. I can say that because she ain't here tonight. I know she's probably listening. If not, she will be. But then she came here, and she said, I remember Chris used to sit way back in the back. She had that one little talent. And she said, I don't have much. I got a little student flute. It's nothing really, but I don't even know the difference between a student flute and a professional flute. But she does, because she has talent. Then she took that talent and she invested. And not only did Christy get blessed, but the whole church got blessed. We all received of her talent. So she invested that, and now she's reaping the benefits. She, like you said, she comes an hour before service and plays and practice and get ready so she can bless you all. She's no joke. And she's stronger now than she was when she walked in that back door and sat on that back seat. You know why? She invested her talent. And that's why I was so excited. So I got to tell the people this, that you can invest your talent and get some dividends back. I don't care whether you're young or old. It doesn't matter. Stock market don't matter about your age. You young people, invest your talents. If you got computer skills, said, you know what? I can't sing. I can't play an instrument. But you know what? I'm one with that phone. I'm one with the computer. I can do some stuff. Well, use that for God. And what'll happen is you'll get in here and you'll do your part. And everybody gets in here and does their parts. And when you go out here in the world and they want you to use the computer for the wrong things, you say, no, I know where my talent lies. I'm a believer. I'm a Christian. I want to give my talent to God. I don't want to give it to the world. So you're a marketing major. You just marketed us what to do with our investments. If you've never invested, today is the day. Take your talent, whatever it is. It could just be a simple testimony. I told David the other day, I said, do you know people are still saying I'm strapped in? He told me, Dad, I said that a couple of years ago. I said, I know. But it's still true. And it didn't just bless you, it blessed the entire body. And the whole body uses it. And that's the same with anything. You invest in here, God will make you stronger so that when you go out there, don't think you're going to go out there and invest. You don't need to go invest in a foreign market. Invest at home. Use your talent at home. And when you do that, God will bless you. Jay didn't title his message. I say title of it is Use Your Talent. How's that, Jay? Is that good enough for you? Well, if you don't give me a title, I'm going to put one in there. I'll do that. I do every service when I take my notes. You say, you take notes? Oh, yeah. God talks to me every service. Amen. I titled it, Use Your Talent. And I'm excited because I think there's people out here that have their talent and they've never really invested. You've used reasoning and like Jay read. He said, well, I'm going to just bury it because I know my master is a mean man and he's hard and I know God's hard and if I just sit here, then God will be pleased with me. No, God is not going to be pleased with you just sitting there. God wants you to take what you have, invest it in him, and you'll reap the benefits of this thing till you won't even be able to handle it. It'll turn your body into a new one. It'll unite you with the dead. It'll help you in your day-to-day life out here. You know why I'm not a pushover out here? Because I've invested in here. And when I invested in here, it let me know who I am so much that I don't even care what they think out there. And when you invest like that, you don't have to worry about, oh, am I going to fall out? Is the devil got one blow on me? No, the devil don't have no blow on me. I'm a son of God. I'm vested now. I'm going to heaven no matter what. Amen. Come on, musician. The more that I surrender, the lighter my load. Find that for me, and we'll sing that, and we'll close. Remember the announcements. Saturday is the ladies' sisters get-together. I'm going to stop in for a minute at the beginning, and then I'm leaving because I hear y'all got all kind of things going on. I'll come in for a minute because I like to spend a little time with the brothers and the sisters at your get-togethers. And what is it? In the courses? Thank you. I like to come and spend a little time, but I don't know. I'm vested in your. I'm invested. I can't help it, and I want to check out my investments. See what my sisters are up to. I did with my brothers when we were here, and got a call from Brother Fred today. He's talking about the meetings. He's already on it. He's like, yeah, you can start announcing. I thought, we already are. He's excited to see us. So I told him, I said, I'm staying longer this time. This is my life. You know what? Do you realize you have no security outside of the market, the stock market? You really don't. Years ago, they put your insurance in it. I remember when they did it, because they used to give us an option to, you can invest in the insurance there, or you can stay with the company. And I stayed with the company as long as I could. Then finally, they forced us all to go into the stock market. Now, everything's in the stock market. Everything. So if you think you're not in it, you are. So be that way with Christ. The more that you surrender, the lighter the load. It gets easier. That's what somebody said tonight. Oh, this is easy. This gets easier because you surrendered. Come back Sunday expecting, and I'm expecting God to move. The more that I surrender, the lighter my load. The more that I release my cares, the more take control. And the more that I can humble myself, the more you lift me. What an investment. Every day I live, Lord, I love you more. Oh, yes, the more that I, the lighter the load, the lighter my load, and the more that I control, and the more that I can humble myself, the more